Hello, Freedom Nation. It's Jeff here once again with another episode of the Freedom Nation podcast. And on today's show, I've got David with Grow As on. And David, you'll be able to relate. He was in a business that he really didn't truly enjoy, made good money doing it, but it didn't make him excited. And he started a little side gig in the world of Google and Facebook ads. And has since left his other career and is now doing this full time. And I believe he'll tell us as of 2 days ago, he went from a self-service model to the only way you can work with him is by subscription only basis. And you actually have to apply to work with him. So that said, he's making things work extraordinarily well for his clients. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on in just a second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation Podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. David, how are you, my friend?
Very well. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I see outside your window that it is sunny and not San Francisco.
Correct. Yeah, in Miami at the moment. Both places very different, good in their own way.
Yep.
Yeah, I probably do prefer Miami.
Yes. I think you're in much better place besides the traffic in Miami now, because everybody's going there. But
Definitely.
All right, my friend. Well, let's get started. Why don't you tell us your story? How'd you get to where you're at today?
Sure. So look, I self-taught programming since I was quite young, 13, 14. Ended up studying computer science university. Finished it not really knowing what I wanted to do. I graduated during COVID. Okay.
Yeah. So
there were no jobs. There was no nothing. I wanted to travel. My actual plan before that was to go travel. Just figure something out.
Okay.
I wanted to travel. I didn't have a job in mind. COVID hit, obviously couldn't travel, couldn't do anything, and I had no job lined up.
Had a lot of time to think, though. That's the good part.
Yeah, indeed. And then luckily, some venture capital fund based in London had heard about what I was doing as my final year thesis at university.
Okay.
From bachelor's, and said, hey, could you do this thing you're building? Could you do it for us in real life? And I was like,
okay.
Absolutely. There's no other jobs going around. All my friends with job.
let me get this right. You're going to pay me to do what I already thought about. Okay, I'm good.
Correct. So anyway, ended up going there for a little more than half a year. That was good. Whilst I was there, I was approached by a PE fund in London. So very different world. This was VC from VC to PE.
Yeah.
Was approached by them. Bigger opportunity. So went there. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And then I was there for a couple of years, learned a lot, just in general, really, really a great place. And then from there, was approached by another fund, this time a US fund, much bigger, based in London, Miami, $75 billion under management. So really big fund, even bigger opportunity. So went there. And then, yeah, look, whilst I was there, not really enjoying life, figuring ways to get out. So started doing e-commerce basically during weekends and late nights. There's not a lot of time. Mm-hmm. When you in that sort of role, very, very demanding role. So I looked at all these sort of online business models I could start. Ecom was the one where I could be like in meetings, checking my phone, looking at orders, being like, oh, I'm Jeff Bezos, I'm amazing. because you could do the work in the evenings, whatever, and then, you know, get the benefit out of the day. Whilst I was running that, I was running up lots of little dropshipping stores, scaling them quickly, got familiar with Google Ads in particular, started to think, huh, there's a lot of things here that I'm doing that could be optimized better. Like, could I build something on top of Google Ads that could be more powerful? And that's really how Hypergraph started from there.
Okay. That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about what the company does. So specifically, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that run Google Ads for you. My experience with that, about 92 to 93% of them royally suck.
Yep.
And just take your money and Correct. Do a bunch of smoke and mirrors and a bunch of reports that show you that, oh, look at all these clicks we're getting for you. Okay, well, are we turning that into real money?
Correct.
That's where I've found most people fall down, and they're horrid at reporting.
Sure.
So tell me a little bit about your approach to this, because it sounds like it's worked extraordinarily well.
Yeah, look, it's been quite the journey, right? So the story as to how even Grass started. Are you familiar with Manscaped in the US? Manscaped?
Not so much.
It's an intimate shaving brand for men, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
They're big in the US. I was running up a competitor brand in the UK. So for intimate trimming. So it's a very basic product. It's an electric trimmer, okay? Costs like, whatever, $8 to get. Sell it 50, good margins, amazing. But, what I found is that people were buying this product from a lot of different angles. You had people who were searching for an arm hair trimmer who then ended up buying it. Chest hair trimmer were buying it. Spouses buying it for their significant other. So like, I saw all these different angles and I thought, what if I could adapt my landing page to match the search intent of the user in real time?
Wow.
So if someone had searched...
Yeah, so customized search for each, each approach at it, same product, just a customized product. Approach.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, someone's an arm hair trimmer, they land on the page. It's all about how this is the best thing on earth for arm hair trimming. Right. Cool.
That's awesome.
So Grass started off as literally just that feature. It was like basically dynamic landing pages that adapt to search intent. And then we started building out basically a tool set for people to use to improve performance on Google Ads campaigns. Okay. Started off small, invite only, and then self-serve for that little tool came out in June of last year. Entry fee was super low. It was like $99 for up to 2K of ad spend, but it was something that people had to use, right? So people are coming in, using, approving changes.
Yeah.
Grass would suggest keywords, remove keywords. Fun little tool, great. We got a lot of users doing that, okay? Because it was super easy to get in. Amazing. 4 or 5 months into that, I started to think, a lot of people are doing repetitive things, but also like, what if we could stop the need for people to even log in or use Grass? And that's where the ideas for self, like full autonomy, started to come. So then we basically did a full-on rebuild. Took 6 months, effectively. Training our own models based off of the existing users we had. A lot of other fancy stuff we did. To build towards a world where you connect a Google Ads campaign and you never, ever have to check it ever again. It optimizes around the clock, 24/7. Better than a human can because it's processing more data than a human can. Because media buying is a data game. It's not, people think it's ultimately, it's like how much can you process and how can you act on that quickly? So full self-autonomy for Grass came out in January this year, first of this year. We were the first to have genuine end-to-end autonomy on campaigns. No one has had that before. As far as I know, people are trying to build towards that. Excuse my French, no one has the balls really to deploy. Anyway, so we did that 1st of Jan. And then since then, just did this. Okay, so doubling MRR month on month with no paid ads, no outreach, no nothing. It's just scale. Great. Now, those 4 or 5 months were chaotic. We learned a lot. learned a lot. And then as of 2 days ago, we did two things. One, we migrated from grass.ai to grass.com. Nice little domain change. And two, it's now application only. We can get into why that occurred, all of that. But yeah, that's basically the story.
Yeah. I mean, it's less support that you have to provide. So or less annoyance with smaller dollar customers.
So what we found is the beauty of, anyone can sign up is anyone can sign up. Like, we were getting a lot of sign ups, so that's great. But, if you have a gas station owner in Missouri spending $500 a month on Google Ads, very hard to service that customer, right? For a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Maybe they have an offer that's ready to Google Ads. They shouldn't be running Google Ads. That's the first thing we found. And we also found actually that agencies are our best customers because they get it instantly. They have Google Ads to run all year round. And what they do.
Yeah. And if you can shorten their process of, all I have to do is sell and I can plug them into your model and go. Right. I mean, that's exactly where they want to be. They don't want to have to have a gigantic tech department that's in there running the ads. Yeah.
Correct. So that's where we shifted effectively, where we found that agencies are really, really good customers. And so love working with them. And now if we're working with a business, we do some due diligence to figure out, all right, is this a scale? Can really help. Also found like the bigger the customer, the bigger the impact we can make as well.
Okay.
Because of the AI models, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the story. That's the background, roughly, of where we landed.
That's awesome. Well, let's kind of step back a little bit because we now know what you do. What was that, that inflection point for you where you are going to the job you didn't enjoy to, you know what, I'm out.
Yeah.
Where was that inflection point for you? Because there's a lot of people out there that are sitting in that chair who may have started a little side business, and they just don't know when that kind of inflection point is where you go, I'm out. Now I can spend 100% of my time.
Yeah. So it was 1 year in the making, one whole in the making, where I realized, okay, private equity also, it was also a game where like the benefits compound, you get carry, et cetera, et cetera. So like the longer you stay, the much harder it is to leave. So I realized I'm of it 25 at the time, where if I don't leave now, I'm not going to leave. At 30, it's going to be almost impossible. 35.
Then you're going to end up getting married and having a kid. And then it's like, oh crap, I can't do this now.
Right. And you're locked in, right? They have vesting structure. It's just like, I have to leave now. So I started to prepare for that. And it started with e-com, like I said. And again, doing really cool revenue numbers in e-com, but as we know, revenue doesn't equal profit, especially in dropshipping. But it gave me confidence, like, hey, look, I can actually make something happen by myself with outside funding, with no nothing.
Well, and you tested a lot of your learning, basically getting paid to do that, which is fantastic.
Correct. And I think, so the turning point when I was like, oh, I think I'm onto something with Grass, is we started building this, like I said, this little tool. Got a bit of traction because we listed on some like AI tools directories. Like that's our positioning of it.
Got it.
And I remember there was one particular person who we signed up, who was a Google Ads vet, 20 year in the industry, really knows what he's doing. And then he was like, he connected some campaigns. We helped him out. I was like super hands on at the time. I had I had all customers on my WhatsApp, like, calling them 24/7. That's how it was. I was like all over the shop.
This is not a scalable model by any way, shape, or form, but
of course not. I remember he said something. He's like, I think you guys might be able to something here. He's like, he's been in the game for 20 years. His business is running Google Ads. His entire business. He's not an agency, but he runs basically pay per lead for insurance phone calls. And he's like, I think you guys might be able to something here. And I was like, huh. Mm-hmm. And then like within like a week or two, he's putting like $3,000 a day through our systems. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like he's just connecting his campaigns. Like I'm like, what? This is crazy. And that then gave me enough mentally, I was like, I would figure out anyway, if I leave today, like I can't do both. It's physically impossible to judge, to balance a job in private equity with what I was doing. And I work hard, right? But
yeah.
You
still only have 24 hours in a day, man. Just not
exactly. So the truth is, I just took the leap of faith with very little savings, not even a lot of customers, like very few, but just enough of that. There could be something here.
Yeah,
to jump, and that's what I did.
That's cool. Yeah, and I mean, you had somebody who knows the stuff, who's been doing this as a profession. That's going, hey, you guys have got something that's working, and you saw it from the point of view of, okay, I can see how much money he's throwing through here. You know, it's like, okay, if I just get more of him, you know, we've got a model that can work over time. So
that's exactly right. Yeah.
So what's kind of next? I mean, you know, next is, okay, you've just shifted model of a lot. At this point, you don't leave a lot of dust laying behind. So what's kind of the next level for you with this? Yeah. Where do you see this going?
I mean, look, I still think there's a bunch we can do at a you know, Google level, how we can help agencies more, right? That's now like a big focus. Because for us, for them, we are effectively like a software layer, right? So we're going to continue building stuff for them, increasing our engine or models, because month on month we get better. So like I said, the Grass engine in May is better than it was in April, better than it was in May.
Sure.
March, because we have more users, more things to turn on. Great. That's step one.
Mm.
Then I think obviously the natural move, by the way, is probably to expand to other platforms, other avenues. Now the really hard question is, what is the correct next thing to do? Really hard. And I debate internally all of the time. I can give you some ideas, some things where my mind's been at, if that's helpful.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of was SEO. SEO or AEO.
Yeah.
Natural fit, PPC SEO. A lot of agencies will sell that as double. Great.
Well, and your customers are very similar.
Exactly.
You know, because Google customers tend to be a little bit more of the, okay, you know, somebody's looking through on a search and then your ad pops up or something like that. So it's, I think, a very similar
Definitely.
kind of customer profile. So it's, an easier slide than, oh, I'm going to go completely off the rails and go over to Facebook and try and deal in that cesspool.
True. But I can actually tell you that. So again, this was something I considered seriously. We started building even a bunch of stuff around SEO internally. We got to work. But we actually haven't done that yet. And I don't think we will. And I'll tell you why. You know why? Because I don't genuinely think we have an edge in that game. Like, Google, okay. we have an edge. Like, I can give you, you can vibe code our front end in a second. That's not the hard bit. But we have an edge in terms of the engine. No one's been able to replicate a fully autonomous system work 24/7 that can happen what a human can do. We have edge. And also, the edge as well came from all of the early users that kind of happened by accident. When it comes to SEO, is a whole different game. A lot more competition. The algorithms are changing. There's a lot less that's in your control. So we kind of put a pause on that for now, even though it would complement our servicing really nicely. It's a natural move. For the time being, it's probably not where I want to put my efforts. I will say this, and Facebook is a whole other beast, by the way. Also, I think we have an edge, but Zuck as well is putting a lot of changes into the Facebook algorithm where, like, removing a lot of control from the advertiser, that makes it tough for people to optimize around that.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what ends up coming out of a lot of these lawsuits. I mean, I think they're mired in lawsuit after lawsuit.
Definitely.
At this point, and you know, are they just going to start pulling back?
Yeah. So we'll see. So that's and then there's one other thing, which I'll say. I don't mind saying this, but I think it's the new really interesting play. Is obviously, and then if you saw, but ChatGPT came out with ads recently.
Oh, I didn't see that. Interesting.
So I think that's there's going to be a lot of companies that will start to do that, but I think basically the LLMs are now going to start building ad infrastructure layers for themselves. And that's an interesting play. Because obviously, by the way, Google themselves are shifting. Like, they're slowly, eventually going to shift to like a chat model as well. They have to do that.
Well, I mean, yeah, they've already done it with, you know,
Gemini.
Why would I just do a general Google search when I can go in and do Google AI search and get a much better answer in that case and not get the scattered, you know, crazy answer and all that. So, yeah, I mean, I think that is a really interesting, that and how to play the game of, okay, if my end user is trying to get a very specific result from, let's say, an AI search, how do I play the game? Because all the models are trained on different platforms. How do I get the best end result for my client across maybe 3 or 4 different AI models.
Correct. And so that's really hard. Yeah. That's a very hard problem to solve. So that's effectively probably where we're at. But like today, still day to day is very heads down with the mission, what we need to do, continue to grow the Google AI, the assets on the management.
I don't ever see Google ads going away or anything on Google. I mean, it's just they're a machine, you know, and once again, they are. Like, I am on Google searching for something and an ad pops up because I hit just the right keyword and boom, that ad pops up. And if it's eye-catching enough, you know, I'm off there. And I really, truly like what you're able to do with that, where it's like, okay, you know, it's not a generalized landing page. It's a customized landing page for whatever their need is, because that's the itch that they have at that point. So scratch that itch, not, well, let me scratch 12 different itches and confuse you more and give you a bunch of data that you don't care about.
100%. 100%. Yeah. That's right.
That's awesome. I love it. Wow. I mean, that's a lot. And I'm assuming you're making enough money to pay the bills and continue to grow this thing.
Yeah. So on that topic, right? The early days were tough. The early days were why? Because
always is
strapped. Have taken outside funding for this. Still kept ownership of the company.
Yeah,
early days were really tough because also I had to build a product first. Obviously now we've got a team and whatever. But the early days I had to go from zero to one with no funding, no market edge, no special contacts in the Google industry, like nothing.
No team.
No team. Had to build that out. So it was really tough, right? In the early days, I was actually living in Southeast Asia because it's super affordable.
Okay.
And that like got me off the ground. Thankfully, it all worked out. Amazing. So now we're basically all over. But yeah, the early days were definitely tough. Now, obviously, having worked in VC as well, that's exactly why I didn't want to take VC funding, because I've seen the other side of that. I've seen the other side of the equation. It's a dangerous game. A lot of people don't first-time founders don't probably understand that game.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you develop a great product, but you've sold your soul to the devil, you know, at the beginning of that. And, you know, by the time you start to realize something, you know, okay, they're not putting tons more money in, but they own a big old chunk of your, you know, of where you're at for those next funding rounds.
But that's not even the worst problem. The worst problem is, so VCs have different incentives to you. That's the fundamental misalignment. So a VC is going to come on board. What do they need? They have investors of their own. Okay, so for them to go raise more money themselves, what they need to show is the companies they invested in. So if I invest in you at whatever, $10 million valuation, they need to show in 6 months' time that you're on paper worth 50 mil. The only way for that to happen is for you to go raise more money from other people. Great, fine. For you to continue basically continually like raise more and more money, their incentive is for you to basically become a structurally unprofitable business who needs to go out and raise more money.
Yeah. Now, they don't care because they're just trying to get a valuation number.
It's a valuation gap.
They don't care if the business makes money or not. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Now, what I saw countless times, and so this is for me the danger, I saw this countless times when I was working in VC, because I worked at a VC fund out of college, but also before that, I interned at a really top VC fund in Berlin. I've got two different VC experiences. Both cases, same thing happened. You have a founder who's worked really hard and done the hard part of number one, building a good product, and number two, building a good team. But guess what? They weren't growing at a quick enough margin, at a quick enough rate. Therefore, they couldn't go raise more money. Therefore, they shut down the business, even though they had done the hard part of doing team and product, which is always the hardest to solve. So I saw that countless times. I was like, look, I'd rather be at my own pace, do things when I want, what I want, hire who I want, operate at my level.
You don't have a ton of overhead, which is good. And, you know, I mean, it's just all you got to do is feed you. And if you're not in some expensive place, you can, you can eat pretty well in Southeast Asia, I'm guessing.
Definitely.
On a small budget.
Absolutely. that's basically where we landed, right?
Nice.
We still get approached all the time by VCs, whatever. It's just not the right play, not the right approach for us. But I don't think it's bad overall. I think if you're doing something like really like if you're putting rockets in space or you're like developing a drug, then of course you need a lot of upfront capital. But for something which is relatively asset light, I urge people to try figuring out bootstrap first.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, today, I mean, you don't necessarily have to be a top-notch programmer. I mean, you've got the ability, you've got Claude that can code just about anything you can imagine.
Correct.
I mean, I'm just shocked. I was working on a real estate project and I'm thinking to myself, God almighty, I'm going to have to create this massive amount of everything to be able to analyze deals. And I just queried Claude and I'm like, okay, you know what I'm trying to accomplish? What's the easiest way to do this? And it was like, oh, well, you want to do that? Oh, I can do like, here, it's a 14-step process that we follow. I can do basically up to step number 12. Yeah. And then the human needs to step in kind of in that last, okay, let's make a decision mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, let's test this. And it took 15 minutes to create it. I plugged the operating system into a separate chat and plugged in a set of data and it went boom. 15 minutes later, I had a whole list of potential buys and it analyzed about 40,000 data points in a matter of 15 minutes and came up with a list of potential opportunities for us, you know, that we're now working off as it is. And, you know, a couple little tweaks here and there. But I mean, that's the world we live in today. Great. That, you know, if you're sitting in a cubicle or you're beating your head against the wall running a business, you better figure out how to use this stuff because it's there and it can shorten up the time of, yeah, I mean, I can imagine, yes, you're a good coder and you're a good programmer, but man, it's a whole lot better than having to hire a whole bunch of programmers overseas that may or may not be good. And they're definitely not consistent. And
let me give you a point of reference. My CTO hasn't manually written a single line of code in 8 months. 8 months.
There we go.
He hasn't not written a line of code. It's just, it's cool. Because now basically the skill set for him is, how many agents can you orchestrate at once? Can he have different agents working on the code base? And that's a skill in of itself. Mm-hmm. That's the world today. We're no longer having code.
Yeah, which, I mean, I'd much rather have that because then if I have 30 agents running, I know I'm going to have 30 agents running absolutely consistently, not, well, this one's great and this one sucks and I've got to figure out which one's better than the other. And you know, you end up spending more time trying to bring those all up to the same level versus, okay, I've got everybody on the same level and we're just banging through.
Yep.
And then you just have to guide the ship through the, you know, here's what we're trying to accomplish. How do we get ourselves there?
Correct.
That's awesome.
Yep. Yep.
Well, that's cool. I mean, if you had to say today, you know, your kind of exit or end plan, is it you probably are going to get acquired by somebody that wants it, or hey, we're going to keep running this sucker and keep growing it from there?
Yeah, definitely not in my mind. Definitely never.
Okay.
I want to sell. No. And again, I know it sounds quite, how should I say this? Maybe because young and abrasive, but like truthfully, like we're coming for, I think, the old guard of the marketing industry.
Nice.
Right? Like there are some massive whales like who run, I don't know, 50 billion of ad spend through Google a year. That's who I'm,
yeah.
That's who I want to compete with. Like that's now our position. That's how, that's where we're now trying to level up. So I never have a plan to sell or anything like this. I just want to keep growing this.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a question.
Well, I mean, yeah. And the impressive part of that too is, I mean, you could grab them as a client too.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Sure. That's true as well. That's true as well. Potentially there's a question eventually. We're nowhere near this. Like, no, this is like years and years away. But
yeah.
Potentially there's a way of where like I transition myself out away as a CEO who's running things daily and as a chairman or whatever that is. So, like removing myself from the daily ops, that's possible. But I don't have any plans to sell or whatever because I enjoy it.
I
enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you're still so early into it too. It makes it a lot more fun. We'll talk in 10 years after you've been doing this for 10 years. Then it's a little bit of a different animal. I can speak from this with a couple different businesses. It's like, man, when you're 10 yet, okay, I'm tired of doing this. I'm ready to move on to something else this point.
That's fair. Yeah, we'll see.
But yeah, I mean, once again, I like that approach because so many of the business schools today have that whole lean startup, you know, model of, oh, well, it's all about, you know, the different funding levels so you can have an exit down here and make billions of dollars. But, you know, I mean, for those of us that enjoy running businesses, I don't really want that. I mean, yes, when I get tired of it, that's the time to exit, you know, because otherwise it's going downhill.
Yep.
But yeah, I love your approach to it. Keep doing it and enjoy it and
plan.
Don't let them take your baby away from you.
That's the plan. Thank you. That's the plan.
Awesome, man. Well, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about the fast five questions now.
Okay, sure. Let's do it.
All right. So first question, you wake up in the morning. Business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, laptop, computer, place to live, food and clothing. What are you going to do first?
Try land a first client doing the exact same thing I'm doing now.
Nice. Well, I mean, you know it. I mean, the knowledge is still in your head. So absolutely. Yeah, you may have to rebuild stuff a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I agree. Just find that first client and start rebuilding at that point.
Start cold calling.
Yeah. What's the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
Woof. I don't know. I mean, there's two angles. One is the people level, and then the other is just general business. I think the best advice I can give is really narrow your ideal customer avatar. Like, find who that person
okay.
is. And then your messaging, you can't please everybody. So that would be my, that's a marketing lesson too. But yeah, find your customer avatar and try service just them first.
Nice. I love that. What's a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
Oof. That's a tricky one. There's a lot of autobiographies that I've enjoyed over the years.
Okay, cool.
Some business ones too. I think Richard Branson's autobiography, I think it's quite powerful.
Yeah, right behind my head here is my favorite book by Richard Branson ever. Screw it, let's do it.
Love it.
It's my favorite book he's ever done. It's so short. Yeah. It's a weekend read, but I absolutely love it. So.
Mm-hmm.
What's a tool that you use in your business every day that you might recommend?
Claude Code. Even if I'm not writing code myself these days,
even
for a while, I still use it to automate things. Super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I even encourage like non-technical account managers to use Claude Code. So that's
absolutely
every day.
Well, like I said, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, its ability to, you know, I mean, it just takes information and says, okay, well, here's how you put it together and boom, you're off and running. And I think that puts, I think people are scared of that, you know, oh, as a programmer, I could lose my job and all this. Well, if you just learn how to, because the problem is it can't go past. It's not creative. It has to get your information and then turn that into what you want to accomplish. So, you know, working with it as a side-by-side partner, I mean, I use it for writing.
Sure.
Yeah, I used it for, I just did something right before I came on with you and threw it into Claude and said, okay, here's what I want to accomplish. Can you do this for me? Yeah. You know, and I'm looking at, it's got 17 different pillars of this plan and everything else. I'm like, okay, now you're going to cause, can I get you to identify and go in and explain to me what all these pillars are now?
Yeah.
Last question for you. What is your definition of freedom?
Woof. Tough one. I think there's various levels to freedom. Okay. Right.
Okay.
You can be a business owner and have location freedom, time freedom, so and so, but then you're chained to maybe bad customers, like a whole thing. It's a good question. I think for me, freedom is, are you working every day with the people you want to work with? That's actually a better definition to me.
Interesting.
That's an interesting one. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause some people would go, well, but that's work. You're working and I want, you know, complete freedom to do whatever I want.
That's boring. I'd go crazy. So that's also another thing.
Yeah.
I stopped wearing grass today.
I like that.
I'm absolutely apeshit. So I'd rather,
But I mean, if in some aspects, I would say you do kind of have your freedom 2 days ago when you shifted from, instead of, you know, over there, I know who my end client, I want to work with agencies.
Correct.
And, you know, and I think it's kind of interesting because you can help some of those smaller agencies level up with some of the big boys that are out there, you know, and it's, you're helping small business people and you get to work with the people you like to work with. That's beautiful. So you have freedom at that point. I love it.
That's my answer.
Yeah. Love it. Well, all right, dude. Well, I know you said you've got a different website now with the new change. So for those of you guys that are out there that are interested in what David's company does, where's the best place to find you and learn about the company?
Yeah. So it used to be growass.ai. It's now growass.com. We've upgraded.
Okay.
So it's growass.com. That is the best place to reach out.
Perfect. Perfect. And then what's the application process look like for, you know, if somebody says, hey, I run an agency and I want to work with this company.
Yeah, look, we try and make it quite straightforward, right? There's a quick form you fill out. Then you have an application call with one of our account managers, depends who gets assigned to you. And we just take a look at your situation. We see if it's something we can help, right? If it's an agency, what's going on there? If it's a business, what are your numbers? Can we reasonably, are we confident we can make a difference in, let's say, a month or 2 months? So we try and make it very easy and straightforward.
I love it. Love it. Well, David, thank you for being on today. We appreciate you sharing your knowledge and your story with us. So good luck. And I really think you're off to the races with this, and it'll be interesting to see what the next steps are.
Appreciate it. Maybe we'll do it again later. Thank you, Jeff.
I agree. Yeah, it'd be fun to kind of talk when you get to that next level was this a great idea kind of going off and doing the application process or not?
We'll know.
All right. Well, folks, join me again next time around. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. And as always, we will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.